The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
On the Paracast, the final four segments we spend with James Renner. The book is He Came From Ohio, and now he's focusing on werewolves who came from Ohio. And I think of the old phrase from a movie long ago gone, even a man who is pure in heart and says his prayers by night may become a wolf when the wolfbane blooms and the autumn moon is bright. Remember that?
The Wolfman, Lon Chaney.
Right, 1941. They did a remake of that movie where Anthony Hopkins plays Larry Talbot's father. And I thought it was just the worst movie.
It sounds pretty horrible.
It was, because his father ends up being the werewolf, too. His father bit him and made him into a werewolf. You know, it was more fun with the original movie where the person who bites him is Bela Lugosi. At least that makes sense. Bela Lugosi was famous for biting people. Tell us more about the werewolf.
Yeah. I always liked the movie Wolf, by the way. That's, most people have forgotten about it. But
right. Michelle Pfeiffer and Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, and James Spader.
Right. James Spader, of course, of Stargate, and now Blacklist.
Yeah,
he's now we have the balding James Spader in Blacklist, where he just shows how a great actor can chew the scenery.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, so there were these werewolf sightings up around Toledo, and, you know, there was this craze for werewolf movies, and it appears what they were probably encountering were was a crazy rail rider, you know, a hobo, you know, because, again, you go back to the 2x4 and the fact that this thing was always seen by the railroad tracks and this old depot. That's probably what it was. There's probably an easy explanation for the werewolf. But I love the mythos of werewolves. I'd love to believe that that could happen. I remember, you know, being terrified as a kid when I got bit by the neighbor's dog, thinking that I was going to turn into a werewolf at night around the full moon. So it's a fun idea. I wish it were true.
But you're not going to tell us that your hands became a little bit hairy.
Well, certainly not on the record.
Of course. Well, this is totally off the record. We're not going to deal with that. In the real world where people report werewolves, are they really talking about deranged people who maybe didn't take a shave?
Yeah, that's probably what's going on. You know, I live in Akron, Ohio, and, you know, you go downtown on any given day, and I'd see two or three people that, you know, I would say kind of look like werewolves that just need some medication and a shave. And I'm sure that's what was going on. But it makes for a good story, you know. I love a good campfire story. You know, and one of the other stories I included in this was you know, one that was not grounded in any hard truth or report, but was still very scary to me, which was the legend of Red Eyes that was told to us Boy Scouts around the campfire at Camp Manitowoc, which isn't too far from Akron. And it's a Boy Scout camp, and the way the story goes is, and mind you, this is what they would tell us when we were 11, 12, 13 years old at camp for the first time. The ranger that was popular from the 1920s back in Camp Manitowoc was this very tall dude, and he lived at camp all of his life. That's all he ever did. And back in the 1950s, he finally passed away. And at the time, the camp was having some hardships, and they didn't have enough money to buy him a casket that could fit his frame. He would have needed a special casket built for his large body. So to save money, they got a regular casket, and they chopped off his head to make room. And then they put his head in his lap and buried him in the woods of Camp Manitowoc. And if you're a Boy Scout and you're walking back to your camp at night, you may encounter red eyes, which are these glowing red eyes that are part of this detached head of this ranger, and they travel through the forest at night searching for the rest of his body. And it's a story that they tell the Boy Scout, the young Boy Scout, so that they don't wander off away from their troop and get lost in the woods. But it'll scare the bejesus out of you when you're thinking about it in your tent later that night. Everybody loves a good campfire story.
But no reality to any of that.
Well, I didn't think there was. And then one day, I was about 16, 17 years old. And me and a good buddy of mine named Toby and Jeremy, the three of us had our own little group, and we'd go explore at night and go cause mischief and hang toilet paper around other people's campsites. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and we walked away from our campsite heading down towards Concord Lodge in this section of Camp Manitowoc that's just woods on both sides of this trail. And all of a sudden, Toby grabs my arm and looks out into the woods and says, oh my God, there's red eyes. And I laughed, and I'm like, whatever, dude. And he said, no, look. And I look in the woods, and about 50 feet into the woods were these two glowing red eyes. And the breath was just taken out of me, and I've never been so afraid in my life. And I'm like, oh my gosh, here we are. We are experiencing something paranormal, something supernatural. And we may never live to tell about it. And so what do? You know, we're three young men at that time, and we start daring each other. You know, we're not going to run away from this thing. But somebody's got to find out what it is and have an encounter with this thing. And we start daring each other. And finally I said, I was the youngest of the group. And finally I looked at Toby and Jeremy, and I'm like, I'm going to go see what it is. And they said, yeah, you can't do it. You're too afraid. And I go running off into the woods after this thing, straight at red eyes, waiting for this thing to devour me. And I get to it, and I realize, I find that it's an old oil derrick, and it's slowly chugging away and drawing oil out of the forest, this part of this field. And the two red eyes were the red indicator lights at the bottom of the derrick. And this little electronic box. And but I see what it is. Of course, they're still back on the trail. They don't know anything. And so what do? I start screaming bloody murder. And they scream and go running off to camp thinking I've been eaten by red eyes. And, you know, about an hour later, I go sauntering back into camp. And they're cowered in their tent, you know, waiting for the police to arrive. So that was my encounter with the real red eyes.
The real red eye being something very conventional.
Again, yeah. I'm sorry, but yes, all my stories usually end up back in the world of conventional explanations.
Except, of course, when we get into things like UFOs and stuff like that, where things can be mighty weird. There could be some conventional explanations or a mixture.
Right.
You never can tell. Now, someday I think I'd like to tell you the story about the Somerville, South Carolina light. This is where the ghost of someone who worked for the railroad is seen holding a lantern, which, of course, is the light. I went out there. I didn't see anything strange, but maybe I'll tell you more about it. Let's go back into the questions here, because I want to focus a little bit here, and we don't normally do this because we're so much on paranormal events, but you kind of think serial killers are in themselves paranormal. So question number two from Jeff Davis. With the greatest respect for your fascination and direct pursuit of serial killers, in your estimation, are these deranged yet highly functional serial killers self-contained and therefore solely, singularly motivated, mission-based within demented and psychologically damaged human psyche? What a long question. Or do you feel that possibly an external form of evil comes into play wherein these individuals are directly influenced by a completely independent evil volition due to their inviting hunger for the same? In other words, he's talking about demons. I guess the question is really about demon possession. But you know what? We have to do the break now. And we'll have James Renner's answer and more about serial killers and about the ones depicted on TV and how close might they be to the ones who are real. The book is called It Came from Ohio. I came from Brooklyn, by the way. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Final three segments of the show with James Renner. The book is It Came from Ohio, but he chases after serial killers. We got a really involved question there from Jeff Davis, mostly saying, you know, are they just evil people or are they possessed or influenced by demons? What's your take?
You know, oddly enough, I'm going to tell you probably my most unconventional story of the segment of your interview. And it has to do with serial killers and not with UFOs and flying saucers and Bigfoot and things like that. So the crime that I've investigated the longest is the unsolved abduction and murder of Amy Mihaljevic. And she was this 10-year-old girl that was abducted on October 27th, 1989, from Bay Village, Ohio. She was taken at 2:30 in the afternoon from a busy plaza in broad daylight across the street from the Bay Village police station. Bay Village is a Tony suburb of West Cleveland, and it's where the FBI, local FBI, it's where they raise their families. It's the safest community around, and this happened in broad daylight right there. I became fascinated with it because I was the same age as Amy. We were both born in 1978. She'd be 36 this year. And it just was a case that always stuck with me because we were the same age. I was living with my mother in Rocky River, which is right next door to Bay Village. I'd see this girl's posters, missing posters up all over the place. And eventually they found her body a few months later in Ashland County. To this day, nobody's ever been arrested for the murder. That was my first book. It was Amy, My Search for Her Killer. It came out in 2006, and all these other books kind of came out of that. I went into it thinking that after so many years, the police probably knew who did it, just didn't have enough evidence to arrest them, because that's what we see on CSI and Law and Order. But when I started looking into it, I found something very bizarre, and that's that so many men had the means, motive, and opportunity to commit the crime. A number of men, at least 10, had taken note of Amy. And these were creepy individuals, and they all kind of were keeping tabs on her. And if she wasn't abducted by the person that took her, she might have been abducted by somebody else. This was something that an FBI agent told me. He said, you know, if he hadn't taken her, somebody else might have. You know, perhaps what happened was she went to the plaza to meet with a certain abductor, and then somebody else came and took her before that. Could be one of the reasons why it was so hard to solve. Over the years, I've learned of a man who at the time that Amy was abducted was a school teacher. He taught science, middle school science in Amherst, which is not too far from Bay Village. A number of things were very interesting about him. He fit the description of the person that people saw Amy with and who led her away from the plaza. And he had some run-ins with kids in his school district. He was investigated for inappropriate behavior, things like that. When the FBI finally started asking about him and looking and digging into his background in 2005, he was 1 year away from collecting his pension and finishing and retiring from teaching. He abruptly quit teaching and disappeared. He showed up 6 months later in a homeless shelter in Key West, Florida, which is as far as you can get from Bay Village without leaving the country. He has since left the homeless shelter, is now managing the Wendy's on Key West. And I learned about this guy in 2008. I had to fly down. I had to meet this guy. I had to see him for myself. So I went down, and all I knew was he was somewhere on Key West. And in my mind, Key West is an island. It can't really be that big, right? I get down there. Of course, Key West is just huge. And, I really didn't know where to begin. I started showing his picture around at different restaurants and businesses. And eventually I got some leads. They said, yeah, he looks like the guy that plays ragtime piano down at the piano bar. And I knew that was him because he played ragtime piano in Disney World before he became a teacher. So I'd go down to the piano bar, and, of course, the piano bar had shuttered, you know, a couple weeks before, and I just missed him. Actually, the first place I went to was the Wendy's, and I had mentioned, you know, I kind of gave away the twist of the story, but I, at the time, I didn't know he worked at the Wendy's, and it was the first place I went because that's where he would take the kids that he'd shine to back in Ohio. His special treat would be to take them for Wendy's after school, and that's kind of how he groomed them. But when I went to Wendy's, I didn't see him there. I was looking for him in the customer line. Or just hanging out in the restaurant. I wasn't considering that he might actually be working there. So I spent the next 36 hours trying to find him, hunting him down on this island. And finally, I decided, I'm like, look, I'll just go to the homeless shelter. And I started asking around the homeless shelter. And one guy said, well, if anybody knows where he's at, it's Mr. Frisbee. And I said, well, who's Mr. Frisbee? And the guy said, well, he's the guy tossing the Frisbee down on the beach. And so I went over and talked to Mr. Frisbee. And he's like, yeah, I know this guy. He's, you know, he's my friend. He looked out for me in the homeless shelter. I said, where is he? What happened to him? And he said, oh, he's managing the Wendy's. So I drove over to the Wendy's, and he was supposed to be working that afternoon. And I talked to the woman behind the counter, and she said, well, strangest thing, he called in sick. I said, oh, that's strange. She's like, yeah, he never calls in sick, and he called in sick today. I said, well, can you find out where he lives, or do you have a phone number? Because, you know, I kind of bluffed. I said, I'm a former student. I'd really like to talk to him. And so she went and pulled his paperwork, and she said, well, this is strange. He didn't list an address. But I know he's got to live on the northeast side of the island because I see him over there sometimes jogging. And I knew he was an average jogger, so I sit over there. And it gets to the point where I have an hour left on the island before I have to drive off and catch my flight.
This sounds like a movie.
Oh, doesn't it? It's a very movie-like situation that I find myself in. And so I've got an hour left. I got to catch my flight in Miami. I have to leave. And I realize I'm not going to find this guy. And I'm frustrated. I stop at a stop sign in the suburban part of Key West. And I put my head down. And I'm not a religious guy. You know, I grew up. I went to church, you know, a few times. But I wasn't raised in the church. And I just sent this message out. Call it a prayer. Call it a message to the universe, whatever. I just said, you know, I sent this message out. It was, if this is the guy and I'm supposed to meet him, I need help because I have to leave and I'm not finding him. He walked in front of my car at that exact moment. And he crossed in front of my car at the stop sign. And I pull over and I get out and I call after him. And we have this conversation on the corner of the street for 10 minutes. And during those 10 minutes, he never once denies killing Amy. You know, he says things like there were things in his past that he doesn't remember. The whole time I was with him, there was this odd darkness around him that is figurative. You know, it was something I felt, but it was also literal. The light was funny around him.
Ooh, this is more fascinating than ever. And we'll find out about his encounter with this alleged killer in a moment. At least he's here to live to tell the tale. James Renner joins us. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, Mexican, 6 vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
James Renner joining us. The book is It Came From Ohio. He also chases after serial killers. In this case, you chased after somebody that you actually encountered. For a moment, did you ever think this guy would suddenly strike back at you?
I was almost hoping he would.
Oh? Because... Were you armed and dangerous?
No, I wasn't, but... We were on a very busy intersection, and I figured, you know, if I pushed him, maybe he, meaning with my interview, not like physically push him. If I really pushed this guy with my questions, perhaps he would attack me. And then he would be arrested, and that could be probable cause to search his house. It might have opened up some avenues for the investigation, but so I was almost hoping he would.
You are really kind of pushing the envelope there.
Yeah, maybe. You know, I think a psychologist might view it as self-destructive behavior. But, yeah, I've been looking for this guy since I was 11 years old, you know, and I think he's probably the person that did it. At the very least, I know he's a very evil guy, you know, from the things that I discovered that he had done to other of his students. But yeah, there was talking about the paranormal and supernatural. There was darkness around him, you know. And I think the question originally that got us talking about this is, you know, whether there are things like demons. And I would say that encounter with that suspect, it's one of those defining moments where yes, there was a demon there. There's no getting around it. There was something around that man.
And, but there's nothing that he told you that you could have used to go back to the authorities and say, he's the guy.
Well, that's not entirely true, because I did specifically ask him, did you kill Amy Mihaljevic? And he did not say no. You know, that's enough in a court of law where it's almost considered an admission. He was asked a direct question, and he didn't say no. So that's enough to be called to the stand and to testify on that bit of information. And certainly opens up him for further investigation and interest for the FBI and the police in that case. And I'm not the only one that has sensed something, especially with this case. And I'd say 99.9% of these cases have nothing to do with supernatural paranormal, but something about this case, it does. You speak to the FBI agents who have worked this case for 20 some years. I spoke to one, and you know, this is a very credible guy, and we're having this conversation about this true crime, this unsolved mystery. And suddenly he gets to the point where he kind of trusts me, and he leans across the table and he says, have you ever heard the voices? And I look at him, what are you talking about? What voices? And he says, well, have you ever been to the site where her body was found on the anniversary of her abduction? And I said, no, I'm usually at Bay Village Plaza where she was abducted. I've never decided to be at that site. He said, well, go down there. Be at that site on the anniversary of her abduction. He says, I've done it every year since then. He says, when you're down there, you will hear the voice of her killer. He said, I don't know how to explain it. He said, but every year I'm down there. And about, 7, 8 o'clock at night, when it starts getting dark, I can hear it. I can hear his voice. So, something about this case, there's something darker, something specifically evil about it.
But certainly not enough to get the authorities to arrest this guy after all these years.
How do you arrest a guy? You can't arrest a guy because some reporters come up to you and told you that there's a demon, around this guy.
They may even look at you and decide that you have a problem.
Yeah, right? Yeah. No, I'm sure. Thankfully, there's another FBI agent, at least one that has, encountered the same thing. So I don't look entirely crazy. And hopefully the background and my other work has spoken for it. But, it is what it is. There, as far as the case goes, they did assign a retired FBI agent, a guy named Phil Torsney, back in February of this year to reopen the case. And he's a great pick. Torsney is one of the guys that brought in Whitey Bulger over in Boston. And he's clicking on this and working on it in his spare time. If anybody can bring it to a close, I think it's him.
So how many years is it now?
Well, it was 89, so does that make it? We're coming up on the 25th anniversary.
Right. So after 25 years, there's no statute of limitations with murder. And you have to think here, if they get him for this one, there may be lots of other unsolved cases for which these people might be responsible.
You would think, but I don't think that's the case with this one. I think one of the reasons we haven't caught him is he's never done it again. I think this guy is a serial abuser, but I think with this incident, he took Amy not knowing where it would lead, and the murder, I think, scared him so much that he's never been drawn to it again. The suspect that I like for it in Key West, Florida, the one thing that's very interesting from a psychological standpoint is when he was young, he was about 8 years old, he had a twin sister, and she died when they were eight, and when she was still prepubescent, which Amy was at the time of her abduction. And, you get into the minds of these serial killers and or abusers or whatever, and one of the things you start to see is many of them are reliving these traumatic events from their childhood, and they're trying to recreate them in order to draw some sort of understanding from it. And I think that's exactly what this guy has done. And Amy was a surrogate for his twin sister. It went beyond where he thought he was going to take it. And he's been terrified ever since then and has never committed another crime. At least murder. He's never murdered again.
All right. This is something where maybe if we ever get an update, we'd like to learn more about it. But let's look at fantasy versus reality.
Sure.
So you have a fascination with serial killers. I think it's most blatant in a TV show called The Following, where you have this serial killer who has followers who kill because they worship him.
Oh, sure.
That's the Kevin Bacon program. And then you have Criminal Minds, where you have a special group of FBI agents who go out around the country and they trace reports of serial killers, and they try to capture them. Now, obviously, they have to solve this in 43 minutes, plus commercials. And sometimes these stories extend week after week. Like the following is going into its third year, this coming year, this third season of, what, 13 episodes a season. So it's basically one long serialized story, whereas the others are usually one or two episodes. But then if you look at these TV shows, and certainly where they cover a serial killer in a Law and Order variant like Law and Order SVU, which is the current one, the last one that's available, or in CSI, how close to reality are these shows? Because supposedly they are inspired by real stories.
Yeah. How close are they to reality? About as close as the Twilight series was to reality, or or SpongeBob SquarePants is to reality. They have no basis in reality. I have to say I despise those shows because of it, because they've actually done damage. They've created a generation of potential jurors who believe that these cases can be solved easily, that every case needs DNA evidence, that every case needs a smoking gun. So it's frustrating. I can't watch them because I know everything that's wrong with them. And every police officer, you know, that's been doing homicide for any length of time will say the same thing. And there's no basis in reality. And one of the things that you see on these programs a lot is this idea of the satanic cult, or this cult of killers, or this, as Satanism comes up a lot, you know. Everybody wants to blame, you know, these unsolved murders or disappearances on Satanists that are sacrificing them to the demigods or whatever.
We'll get into the myths and the realities in a moment. James Renner, author of It Came From Ohio, we're focusing on his interest in serial killers. Watch out. You're in
The Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you to take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Americans have always been ready to defend, to serve, and to honor those who defended and are defending all of us. So this month, the Freeze-Dry Guy honors and serves Americans with our meat, rice, and potato sale. Our unit includes four number 10 cans of quality Mountain House cooked diced beef, ground beef, diced chicken, white rice, and two cans of FDG dehydrated diced potatoes. 158 servings per case unit. And during the Freeze-Dry Guy's meat, rice, and potato sale, get one case for only $179, two cases for only $355, or get three cases for only $515, and all come with lots of valuable freebies. For details, click freezedryguy.com and hurry. Sale ends soon. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD. Plus, free shipping to the lower 48 states from the Freeze-Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Hey everybody, Jason Lewis here with another great idea from JasonLewisTeam.com. Now, how would you like an energy drink that's actually good for you? That's right, one that not only gives you an afternoon pick-me-up, but that's loaded with the most important antioxidants for reducing the damage from stress. It's called Pollen Burst, and it's a natural burst of energy that lasts for hours. Now, most energy drinks rely on a massive dose of caffeine, sugar, or even vitamin B. Pollen Burst takes a more balanced approach, and that's why I like it. I also love the fact that Pollen Burst has plenty of vitamin D and green tea extract. This is the best energy drink I've ever tried. So trust me, you'll not only like it better than the others, you'll love the way it's individually packaged for freshness as well. They've got these on-the-go stick packs. They're great. Pollen Burst. It's available at JasonLewisTeam.com or simply call 1-855-310-TEAM. For a natural burst of energy, it's Pollen Burst at JasonLewisTeam.com or 1-855-310-TEAM.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Final segment with James Renner. He writes about true crime and also about paranormal events, such as the book It Came From Ohio. So back to serial killers. So things are always cut and dry and very simplistic on the TV shows. Everything is due to a satanic cult. So the serial killer in general is just an individual who acts alone doing his or her skullduggery?
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, there's been one or two instances where you have I actually encountered one of the stories, the title story to a book that I wrote called The Serial Killer's Apprentice, which was a collection of 13 unsolved murders and mysteries, was about a serial killer, one of the rare instances where he was working with somebody else. And I found evidence that it was a serial killer that was training his nephew in his trade. So that's kind of creepy. But as far as this notion that there are these satanic cults out there that are operating across the country that are abducting young kids and sacrificing them, that is just a bunch of hooey. To this date, there's not one credible, confirmed, verified instance of a satanic cult in the United States that have been caught sacrificing a kid or anybody for that matter. So it's I don't know why it became a big trope in TV. Because there's nothing, you know, even in reality to pull from it. But suddenly everybody believes that that's what's really going on.
The other common theme you see in something like Criminal Minds is there's some childhood trauma. Mm. He's trying to relate to his mother, which takes you back to Psycho. He's trying to relate to some stigma that confronted him when he was a child or was confronted with other traumas, maybe being abused by fellow kids or something. So therefore, he or she becomes a serial killer. But the other question is, how many are male or female? Is it mostly male?
Oh, 99.5 are male. You know, the few, you know, there's like one or Eileen Warnos, you know, and one or two others, you know, that are women. But that's another thing that really gets me is, and I see this a lot in books, and it's part of, it's grounded, I think, in feminism, which, you know, I consider myself, you know, certainly I try and write strong women characters when I write fiction. I'm very aware of that. But, you know, this notion of making the the twist at the end of the story, in that it's a woman that's doing the serial killings. There's no basis, in fact, for that. It's 99.5% men. Women just they just don't do that, you know. You know, and part of it is the physicalness of it. I mean, you've got if you're that person, you're taking this other life, you're taking this other person. You have to have the physical means to do that. And I just think women are, you know, they have a grace in them that is lacking. You know, I think men don't have that certain gene. At least most of us. You know, so I don't like that. You know, this thing that you're seeing a lot in stories, that they, you know, that they make the killer a woman. It's not grounded in reality.
They want to have equal opportunity offenders on these shows. Also, obviously, they catch them in 43 minutes, except for the few that are used for a series arc. In the real world, is there a percentage of those cases that are closed? Or do you find that a lot of these cases, because of the complicated nature, never seem to get solved?
Yeah, it's a depressing statistic, but I think I encountered, it's like, you know, for all these unsolved mysteries and disappearances and murders, you know, only about a tenth of them are ever solved. Sometimes it'll take, you know, it could take 20, 25 years. And even when you catch these killers in these tragic stories, there's really no closure, that is presented the way they are in TV and film, which is one of the reasons I got away from it, you know, and I'm, you know, and moved into fiction, you know, screenplays and novels. You know, I'm having a lot more fun with it. And, yeah, I don't want to research anymore. I don't want to research another unsolved murder of a kid or a woman or a disappearance in general, because, you get invested in the people that are, you know, at the center of that story. You get invested in the families that, of the missing. You know, I don't care to, you know, invest my soul into that. Maybe it was the experience in Key West that did that. It probably was, you know, where it just, you know, you come out of that encounter just a little worse for wear, and you just want to do something fun. And so that's what I do. I have fun writing fiction now and hanging out with my kids. And that's the only way to stay sane, you know, for the detectives that work these cases every day, and thank God for them, because I can't do it. But the detectives that think about these cases every single day for 20, 30 years, the only way they stay sane is they go home at the end of the night and they hug their kids. You know, they're young, you know, they're little boys and girls. And, that's what you need. You need to be grounded in family, and you gotta have fun.
You have to wonder also how they manage to keep at this for 20, 30 years, or do they do their normal work each day, pound the pavement, do their investigative work, and maybe at night or on the weekends or when they have a little spare time, they say, you know, let me get back to this cold case and see what's going on.
Yeah, that's probably, and they get criticized for that sometimes. Oh, you only worked an hour on this case in the last week, but, you know, you don't want them working on this 24/7 for years. I mean, you got to think about what that would do to a person. But it's interesting. The characters you mentioned, we see on these shows, the one thing I think they do get right is this idea that something traumatic happened in the character's childhood that led them to become a killer or, you know, an offender in some way. And I think that's very true. You know, every case that I've seen, that investigated that, you know, that's true. You know, they've invariably had some sort of trauma as a kid. So that's the one thing they do get right.
Well, in general, they do have advisors to all these shows.
Mm-hmm.
Policemen, policewomen, they have people from the FBI or whoever, and they give them basic information. They help them fact check procedure and things that happen. But the actual incidents, well, it's fiction. They want to keep you coming back week after week, year after year, and some of these shows just last forever, like CSI or Law & Order. SVU is, what, going into its 16th year?
Right.
I mean, it's amazing. These shows never seem to end, and people still want them. It's like even NCIS about the Naval Investigative Agency. It's been going on year after year, and they get all these ratings, so obviously there's an audience for them.
Yeah, we're hardwired. I think humans are hardwired to love mystery. I think we're we evolved where we have brains that want to figure things out, that want to answer puzzles and questions, and that's what's led us to be so successful. And I think instinctually we love mysteries, and we love a good mystery, and there's no higher stakes for a mystery than a good murder mystery. You know, you're dealing with life and death. And so there's a reason why the stories work so well. You know, it's what we like.
We like this book. It came from Ohio. I had fun reading it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Where can our listeners find more of what you do?
Actually, I forgot to mention this, but I'm actually going to be in Illinois, which is, that's where you're at, right?
Well, actually, I'm in Arizona, but our co-host is there this weekend.
I'm going to be at the Illinois County Con. At Round Lake Beach on June 28th and 29th, you can catch me there. Or in Northeast Ohio, I've got jamesrenner.com is where you can go for my stories. You can find The Man from Primrose Lane, a novel that came out in 2012 that has the Loveland Frog in it, at any bookstore across the United States. And my next novel, The Great Forgetting, which you might like. It's all about government conspiracy theories and paranoia. Comes out next May 2015.
You can also find us on Twitter. We're known as The Paracast. Look for The Paracast on Twitter. On Facebook, there are two Paracast fan clubs, and maybe we'll figure out a way to make them one. Chris O'Brien's site is OurStrangePlanet.com. OurStrangePlanet.com. His new book is Stalking the Herd. If you buy it from the site and not from Amazon anywhere else, you buy it from the site, he'll autograph it for you. How about that? James Renner, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.